everyone. Welcome to Be Loved Podcast. We are on episode 3 of a 4-week series called Recovery and Replenish. We've been talking about how to recover from 2020 before we can replenish and go into 2021. My friend Jeremy Biedenbaugh from Recreate Solutions has been with me all of these weeks. And if you haven't listened to the first one on recovery and the second one on mindset, do that first because they all kind of play into each other. And you'll find those on episode 88 and 89. So on episode 90 today, we're talking all about boundaries. You are going to love this series, and I promise it's going to make a difference in your life. Thank you, Jeremy, for joining me for this 4-part series of Recovery and Replenish. Hi, I'm Christy Hayes and co-founder of Be Strong Story, a family mission and company founded because of a little lunchbox note my husband wrote my son that said,
"Be strong, protect the weak, love everyone."
That's right. We believe those three lines can change our world if we live them out. Each week, we'll be sharing an inspiring and real story of others who are displaying this message of love in big and small ways in their community. Because every way matters. We hope each story will inspire you to make this message your own. Let's go love the world, you guys. Hey, Jeremy, it's back for week 3 of our Recover and Replenish podcast. So for those of you who are just joining us, we have done the last several weeks of recovering from 2020. Last week, we talked about replenishing by being resilient, fact versus story. That's like one of my favorites is what we talked about last week. So go back to that. And then this week, we're talking about responsibility. So this week's going to be a little shorter because we want to give you guys time to really do the work, and Jeremy has a lot of resources in our show notes that will help us do this. But Jeremy is the founder of Recreate Solutions. He does a lot of this work with people all over the board, and so he's going to help us today. And today we're going to be talking about responsibility, the responsibility to know who we are, because we might think we know who we are, but we probably don't. And also boundaries. I think this was kind of like a buzzword in the last couple years, but I think it's important to talk about that. So give us some tips, Jeremy Biedenbaugh. Thanks for being with me again, by the way. Are you sick of me yet?
Never. I can never do that. I'm really happy to be with you again, as always, and really excited about some of this material we get to share because it has been life-changing for me and for a lot of my clients. So it should be fun.
Awesome. Okay, let's just get into the nitty-gritty today. First off is give me some tips of how to know ourselves and why it's so important to do that.
Yeah, it's a really good question. And I think this is really, really pertinent for fast movers, high achievers, high performers, people that are on the go, because so often what we find is that we're so busy performing, achieving, serving, living up to everybody else's expectations, proving ourselves, that in the end, we don't know very well like who we really are, what we're really about. We don't really know, in a sense, where others end and where we begin. And, I have a client right now who's an amazing executive, and she her whole life, because the way she grew up and the poverty she experienced and the messages she got, like she felt like she needed to prove herself constantly. And the way she wanted to do that was through status, title, recognition. And she got all of those things and ended up 25 years later going, "Well, I'm really miserable. This isn't what I was made to do. I don't feel alive by this." And so being able to distinguish a little bit between where am I living out of the false voices? Sometimes I call it giants on your shoulders. So you have these mentors or coaches, teachers, parents that are kind of always, shouting things to you. Where am I living out of like my own like wounds or dysfunction? Like I've got to prove myself. I've got to show them. I've got to work harder. I've got to, attain this, beat that person, show this thing. Those are the kind of things. And so one of the things you start to do as you do it is say like, okay, how do I just first start to distinguish between like my false self or these wounding messages, the giants on my shoulders versus like who is actually, the person that's me? Because, you start living out everybody else's expectations and trying to prove those things. And you end up going like, well, this isn't the life I was really meant to live. Maybe I got a lot of great things out of it, but it's not really what I was intending to do. And so here's what I would say is what you can do is just start to pay attention. Again, a lot of it is curiosity is the key, right? But your false self or those false voices will generally show up in impulsivity, the thought that I have to or I need to, the need to control or criticize or distract. It will show up in anger and dependency and busyness, pessimism. You know, you have those things, right? You get angry because they didn't recognize how hard you worked. They didn't recognize like the status that you'd gained and the things that you would put in or whatever that thing is. And you know, in its worst forms, it starts to become total pessimism or substance abuse or self-harm and those kinds of things. And then, so you go like, where do I see those things showing up in my life? Right. And I see like, those are the places where I'm actually pursuing things or living out of something that's not really who I really am and I'm intended to do. Now the flip side of that is, the seven C's, and this comes from, I think Murray Bowen, but this is really cool is again, like just keeping a little log of this is where do I experience myself being, exhibiting courage, connectedness, compassion, creativity, confidence, curiosity, calmness. And those are the places when you experience that, like I had a client come in the other day and we were talking and he was just like, I just did all these deals. I did this deal and this deal, this deal. And I'm really amped up. And he's like, but it's different after I've been working with you, because normally I would be like, it's the adrenaline rush. And like I conquered and I made this much money and I beat that competitor out and I did all this. And he was like, this is different. He's like, I'm so excited about it, but I'm excited because it's serving my team. I'm calm. I'm like super fired up, but there's a sense of like calmness about it. And he's like, and so I know like I'm actually doing the thing that I'm supposed to be doing here. And, you know, I'll give you a million of those stories. But if you start to pay attention a little bit to where do you, like I went back and looked at when I had in the COVID quarantine, I went back and for whatever reason, just pulled some old college like journals up and started reading some of the stuff. Like, and I was blown away and kind of sad by like how many times I wrote in there, I had to do this today, had to do that tonight. This person wanted to have this conversation or that, and I had to do that. And it's like, that story in my mind is like, I have to do this. Like, they're going to be disappointed if I don't rush in and give them that thing they need.
And did you even find joy in doing that? I mean, besides the fact of getting accolades for it, like, or did you, but just the word that you said, I had to do it, was different than like, I get to do this.
Yes. And that was it. Cause I was looking like, I was writing in there like, I'm ticked because I had to do this, I had to do this. I'm like, you know what? I didn't have to do any of those things.
Right.
I chose to do them because I got something from it, but it wasn't the kind of reward. It's not the proper reward, right? Like, it's like I got them to get off my back, or I got them to be pleased with me, or I got them to be, you know, fixed, so to speak, to be de-stressed. But I was angry about it.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to be pulled into it, but I got pulled into it because I let all those other voices push me in, rather than knowing what are the things that I need to be doing. How can I do that? Because that's where all the stress, like almost all the stress and drama in our lives come from believing that we need something that we don't really need. Mm-hmm. So like, I need you to think I'm smart, or I need you to see that I'm confident. I need you to agree with me. Mm-hmm. I need you to understand me. You know, like I'm big on that one. So like, if you're like, well, I don't agree with that, Jeremy. I'm like, well, let me explain a different way.
Yes, so that you
like,
do agree.
Yeah, I still agree. I'm like, well, let me bring in, you know, a set of statistics and facts.
Right.
Let me argue with you too, because I need you. You know, like that's that impulsivity, that compulsion, right? Like, I need you to understand and agree with me. It's like, if you stop and think about it, it's like, actually, I don't need that. Like, I need to show up with you. I need to be transparent and authentic and kind and compassionate and expressive of my views or whatever, but I don't actually need you to agree with me. And when you see that, you're like, oh, I can relax.
Yeah,
I don't have to be stressed about those things. And so that then you're like, oh, I'm coming from a place of calmness. If I'm serving people, is it from a place of courage and compassion and connectedness, not from a place of I have to, or they're going to be disappointed, or well, what will my boss think, or what my mom think, or whatever that is.
Right. I think of people who, this is great for people like out of college who are like, what is my purpose? What am I supposed to do? What would I love to do? This is super great for like those of us. I just got a book the other day. Someone gave me, it was like a midlife crisis. It was like what you're going to do when you have these midlife crisis, because all of us go through this midlife change, which we used to joke, like someone would get a Ferrari or whatever, but all of us kind of go through this midlife change. I think I'm actually hitting it right now. Like, oh my gosh, I haven't done the things that maybe I wanted to do, or am I supposed to do this, or I'm not. And then I think of people who are like stay-at-home moms, who I hear this all the time, and maybe their kids are now older, and so they're not at home anymore, and they're like, wait, so I just spent like this many years at home taking care of everybody else, and I don't even know what I'm good at anymore or what I like anymore. So I think this speaks to all those different, you know, seasons of life.
Oh yeah, totally. It really does, because there are times when you have to kind of redo it. And I have a whole program. I do Project Discovery with people and do that kind of thing. But in general, like if you sort of take the time to define out, like, this is who I am, here's my vision for kind of my life and kind of what I think I'm called to do. And there's a balance, by the way. Some people, like, this idea of just going and finding yourself, I don't really believe in that, because I mean, there, to an extent I do, like, because like there are things about you that are unique and that kind of thing. But in a lot of ways is you can create your life purpose as much as you can discover it. It's not this thing that's just somewhere out there that if you just wander around right. long enough, it pops up and all of a sudden it's like, wow, like,
yeah,
there right. it is. And, it's different. And this is just a little quick way that you can think about writing your life if you don't have one. And most people don't. I mean, I work with, like I said, people from stay-at-home moms to owners, entrepreneurs, execs, CEOs, and about 90% of them, they don't have, you know, I said, what do you want in life? And they can't really answer because they've been, well, I want to get the investors happy, and I want to get, you know, I want my wife to, you know, think I'm a good guy. And it's like, what do you want and why do you want it? People have a really hard time answering that question.
Yeah.
And it's a really good one to ask. But one of the quick ways you can just kind of start exploring it, and we can get into this more on the last week, is what I would call two qualities plus two expressions equals one life purpose. And I kind of adapted that from a guy named Arnold Patton. But it's sort of like, think about just two unique personal qualities that you most enjoy expressing in the world, right? So you think about justice, humor, creativity, courage, kindness, authenticity, peacefulness, patience. I mean, just there's a million. We can get a whole list. So name two that are unique, unique qualities of you that you really enjoy expressing. And then the two expressions are like, what are two of the ways you most enjoy expressing them, right? Do you like teaching, writing, coaching, managing, leading, painting, singing, problem solving, building? Like, I mean, we pick two, and then it's kind of like, okay, you know, like put those together, right? Is like, I want to use my my creativity and my justice values through speaking and volunteering, or speaking, coaching, or whatever, you know, in order to create this kind of ideal world.
Right.
And that's just kind of a quick, like I said, you know, a long process. Sometimes, you know, we can go deep in that another time, but that's just a quick way to go, like, here's what's really going on. And then as you do that, you go like, now I'm defining myself. So I know much more clearly, because of, I'm keeping some track of my false self, my true self, and kind of this like value system I have now. Who is the, like, who am I? Where do I end and other people begin? Because the way you change yourself is through self-leadership. The way you change systems, whether it be your family, your team, your business, your organization, is this way. It's like Ed Friedman said, the leader in any situation or family or business, the leader is the person in the system not blaming anyone. And that's because you have defined yourself, and you don't need, right? Like, I don't need them to do this. I don't need them to see this or believe this. You've adapted toward health. You're moving in that direction. Your boundaries are clear. They can, like, you know, go nuts on the sides, but in the end, it's like you keep going. And if you can do that, if you can stay calm, stay connected, and stay the course, then you can change your life, your family, your business. And that's that key, staying connected, right? Because what happens is people are like, I don't like, you know, you defining yourself, because now I can't get from you all the things I used to be able to get from you.
Yeah.
And if you can stay the course and endure what's an absolutely essential component of change management, whether personally, relationally, or organizationally, because once you change it up, then people will do everything they can to pull it back to homeostasis or normal. And if you give back into that, then everything fails.
Right. Hey everyone, I love telling you about companies that knock it out of the park with doing good and giving back. And here is one that I just found out about. If you love fashion, you're gonna wanna listen to this one. So it's called reruns.com. Their tagline is secondhand, people first. And here's what they do. Basically, you can buy and sell quality pre-loved clothes and earn the same amount of money you'd earn on other sites. They make it super simple and easy to shop for high quality finds from top kid and adult brands. Basically, you list the items you want to sell and you earn money just like that. But then here's the catch. They thought, in addition to giving things we've loved new life, what if the simple act of buying and selling could help people in need? So at Reruns, they give all of their profits to deserving charities across the country and around the world. It's this simple idea with beautiful possibilities. Relove, do good. Check them out at reruns.com. Hey, I wanted to introduce you to another sponsor for our episode, which is Hit Your Stride LLC. Hit Your Stride is a professional development company that helps people look and sound smart when they talk. If you or your team need to think better on your feet, be more collaborative, make more compelling presentations, or close more sales, Hit Your Stride is the answer. They offer award-winning online and in-person workshops using improv-based techniques blended with the latest science of human performance. All their programs are interactive, content-rich, eminently practical, and highly entertaining. If you'd like a copy of their free resource, Psyching Yourself Up for Your Big Moment, text or call them at 314-401-0066. That's 314-401-0066. Or visit hityourstride.com to learn more. This will also be in our show notes. Thanks so much, Hit Your Stride. I think I would say on number one, the thing that keeps coming back to me is when you say we get from a place of where we need people to think something about us to not needing that. What's the switch? Why are we always needing someone to think a certain thing? Like, if I thought through the whole day, I probably feel that 80% of the time. Like, everything that I do, I'm like, well, I need my kids to think I'm a good mom, so I'm going to do this. I need my husband to think I'm a good wife, so I actually cleaned out the coffee filter today. I need, you know, like, why am I doing all these things? Yes, it's to be a good mom and all those things, but is it because I need someone to think that? How do I get to a place of not needing that and just doing it out of the love of my heart, or because I just do it because I love it, because I'm connected, because I'm compassionate, because, you know, all of those things, it's my purpose, not just because I need an accolade.
Yeah, that's a great question. People say that kind of all the time, like, all right, well, Jeremy, how do I like actually start doing this? And again, part of it is, one, keep a little running log, you know what I mean, of where do you find that resentment, right? Of like, oh my gosh, I just did this, this, and this, and nobody even, like, my kids didn't even notice it, or, well, I did this, but, and there are things in life that we all have to do that, you know, like, the dishes have to get washed sometimes.
That's not my life's purpose, but it has to get done.
Yeah, nobody's going like, oh my gosh, I'm getting fired up to do the dishes.
Get connected when I do some dishes.
But you can connect to the larger purpose, right? Like,
right.
If your purpose is about, you know, you're with your family, it's like, well, this is providing, you know, X, Y, and Z. So mm-hmm. you can make it meaningful.
Yeah, that's good.
You're like, but you start to ask those questions that you're going like, where am I doing things out of obligation, and where am I doing things out of anger or resentment or have to or supposed to or please another person? And then where am I doing actually like out of my calling? And calling isn't like, well, I get to do everything's for me, because that always involves a community. It always involves serving people and bettering the lives of others, in my opinion. I've never ever seen a person be content, satisfied, fulfilled without having that be expressed outside
yes,
of them.
Correct.
But it's like, if you hate public speaking, and I'm constantly going like, Chrissy, you got to do it. You got to do it. You got to do it. And you're like, okay, I'll try. Okay, I'll do it. I hate doing it. Gosh, it's like, you're not really serving people because you're going to hate me. Yeah. You're not going to do a good job because you're not going to show up well.
Right.
But so as you start to define it, then you go, you start to know then how to say no. The word no, I mean, we could do a whole pot. It's so powerful because the word no actually establishes a boundary, right? It actually says, I begin here.
Yeah.
And it actually says, I get to be me. Or it actually says, like, yeah, I'm not a public speaker. I mean, you are, but I'm just throwing an example. It's like, yeah, that doesn't fit with my mission and my calling. So I'm going to turn that down. And all of a sudden you start to be able to say no because you have a strategic vision of your life.
Yeah.
And that's going to exclude, you know, 90% of everything coming at you.
Right, right. And I think that's where the boundaries piece comes in, is where we're allowed to say no. And instead of apologizing for that no, it's no because, you know, you don't even have to say because anymore. Like, I think when I say no to things, I just let everyone down. And so I'm like, no, but blah, 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 blah. You know, instead of just saying, no, that's just not something I can do right now or want to do or will ever do, actually.
Right. You don't have to justify it anymore.
Right. Yes, that.
I do this. I have some wealthy clients and I help them sometimes develop a giving strategy. They don't have, you know, like, when you know, wealthy people, they get hit up, they get asked to give to every single charity under the moon. And then they're stressed. They come to talk and they're like, I'm so stressed out. If I can give here, then I give here, then I have here and here and here and here. It's like, look, let's pull back. Let's set a vision, strategic vision for what you guys are actually passionate about, where you want to dig in, where you want to make a difference, right? And we identify two or three key areas. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, okay, now we have like a strategic vision. Like, we want to give at the time, right? Like, you know, sex trafficking in the Midwest or whatever. Like, and then now we're going to identify organizations or people that do that. And then when other people come and go, oh, can you give to the wells in Africa? Hey, that's sounds like an amazing charity that does amazing work. And I bless you in it, but we've developed our strategic priorities and it's these three things and not that. And then it's not a personal thing then. People are like, wow, well, that's cool that you did that. And I respect that. And I see that it's not just some whim decision or did you look at your tax returns or did you just like do it out of obligation? And then you're more fulfilled, you're more focused and you're making a bigger impact because you're channeling your resources towards those things. Does that make sense?
Totally. Do you feel like once you get to know yourself, then you make the boundaries, or the boundaries come in the middle of that? Does it all go together? Like, what does that look like?
Well, that could be a long conversation. Obviously, Cloud and Townsend, they wrote the seminal book on boundaries. Right. Highly recommend it. You go to his website. You can see a ton of like great little videos. But here's the thing that I use, and we can kind of close with this, but this is a tool, and this is part of the 21-day challenge. This is going to be in the show notes. But I call it two circles that saved my life. And they did because I did not know how to establish any of those boundaries. I assumed everything was my responsibility. And if there was anything wrong, anything, anyone upset, any problem, any crisis, any whatever, you know, failure, like, it was my job to take that on. And so here's how it works. And again, you can you pull up the graphics with the resource. But if you think of your life comprised in two circles, so there are things you care about and there are things you're actually responsible for, right? And so that outer circle, that big circle, is the circle of concern, and the inner one is circle of responsibilities. So what are things you're concerned about? You might be concerned about the pandemic. You might be concerned about the government response. You might be concerned about people that you know about and care about, but don't have direct control over. You're concerned about what other people are doing and saying, what your boss thinks, your friend's financial situation, right? Your wife's emotional reaction to something that you're doing, like all these things. So those are things you're concerned about. And this is really important because stress and burnout and, you know, negative emotion, all that stuff, it comes from taking the things that are right concerns and making them our responsibility. It doesn't come from working too many hours and, you know, I mean, unless you're like a West Virginia coal miner, then it's like you're putting in some physical labor. So that's your concern. Your responsibilities are what you have direct control over, like your words, your reactions, showing up, giving your best, anything listed on your job description, you know, like your eating and your exercise habits, your words and actions, all those kind of things. So, but we mix these up all the time, and that's when huge problems happen. And it's not just for you, it's for everybody else. Because like I said, stress, fatigue, anger, exhaustion, all that comes from when we expand that circle, right? So for instance, when I believe, and this happened to me in the former organization that I led, is like, I believe it was my job to be the glue that held the whole organization together, and that responded to every crisis. Years ago, I always felt like I was responsible for my wife, for Amy's, her emotions and responses, right? So not just going like, do I care about how she feels, but trying to manage it and trying to like, oh, don't, you know, I'm going to plate it up for her, or I'm going to solve it over here and try to make it, you know, yeah, seem like it's this. And that's called overfunctioning, right?
I'm an overfunctioner. I'm just going to tell you right now.
I am too. This is where I have to fight all the time. And I told you, I had a client, and you know, he was like, look, this thing had to be done. And it wasn't even his direct report, it was his peer. He was like, he just showed up week after week and still hadn't done it. And we were like, you got to do it. And he's like, that seems hard. I don't know. I'm just really sad about it. And he's like, so finally, you know, like, I had to go do it for him. And I just did it for him. And I was like, you had to, you know, and it's like, you notice that you are always heroing everyone. You're always rescuing everyone. Why do you do that? And he's like, oh my gosh, that's my life story, right? Because it's right to care about that peer, but caring is way different than bearing. So in other words, like me caring about you and then bearing the load of you, those are two different things. So it's great that I care about my wife's emotions. It's great that I care about my peer's performance. But when I take on the responsibility, then I get anxious and I try to anticipate their reaction. And counterintuitively, guess what? My wife feels less cared for because she needs me to be present with her and her emotions and okay with them, not like try to
fix them, right?
You know, manage them all up. And guess what? Your team, your employees, your boss, you know, because that situation with my client, I said, he's like, well, I felt like I really need to help him out. I was like, okay, I totally get that. You should want to help people out. Did you help? Do you think you helped him? Do you think you helped him develop as a leader? You think you help? It's like, no, I didn't. And in fact, we are generally like, if I come to you right now, I'm like, oh my gosh, Christy, you don't know how to do podcasts. And let me do all the editing and production. Cause you'll mess it up and you're going to be like, back up. I know how to do my job. You know, like you recognize, like I'm stealing something from
you.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's easier for you to do it yourself than to teach someone how to do it better. And it makes you feel, like, when I think of this and you're like, you're an overfunctioner, I'm like, no, I'm just a leader who chips in when no one else does. Like, I'm just the savior because nobody else is going to do it. So I'm going to step up and do it. Where really I'm an overfunctioner because probably I want everyone to think I'm a savior of everybody. Oh my
gosh.
That's
right. And that's the thing. That's the crazy thing is you will go, what are you getting from it? Some people love being the martyr. Some people enjoy being the martyr. Like, I just give and give, you know, like, and they just, I'm just exhausted. And it's like, you recognize, like, that's what I'm actually living for versus my actual calling. Like, that becomes, you know, a huge mess. And so one question, just step back and ask yourself, okay, what here is mine and what is not mine?
Okay.
So your son doesn't clean his room when he's asked to, and you're always like, you never make your bed when I tell you to, and then he leaves and then you go in and make his bed for him. And then you complain that he never makes his bed. It's right. Like, well, there can only be an overfunctioner in a relationship, a family, or a business when there are underfunctioners on the other side.
That's true.
And so you're training your son to be an underfunctioner. You're training your employee or your team to be underfunctioning, to not actually perform, to not actually fulfill their own calling. And so you go like, all right, what is mine and what is yours? How can I support him in learning how to make his bed?
That's good. How can you support him? That's good. That's good. I like that. I'm like, literally as you're talking this, I'm like, oh crap. Like, I got to do all this hard work. Okay. So I want to kind of end it here because I feel like it's blowing my mind and I don't want anyone else to get like blown up in their mind and then us go to the next thing. So we'll do that on the fourth podcast where we talk about kind of how to put this all together. But as we leave people this week, in the show notes, we'll have those questions that you just said. But I think for this week, when I think about it, I'd like to go over even myself, the seven C's. Where do I feel, you know, the most creative, compassionate? And I think I know for the most part, but the thing that I'm really going to struggle with is the boundaries, because I wouldn't even call it I have a problem with boundaries. Like, I feel like I can say no, but I step into way too much crap. Like, because I do have a compassionate heart, and so I want to help all the people. And I want to love on all the people. But maybe sometimes the things that I'm loving, it's not really loving them. It's enabling or making them underfunction. So, okay.
That's it. What's mine here? And what is this? What is yours?
Right. And still be, it's not like you're saying no to everything, and still being a compassionate human being who lives their life, you know, on behalf of others, but knows themselves so strongly that they know how to do that. So, okay, that's good. I'm like, literally, if you could see me right now, the people that are watching on our YouTube, I'm like, crap. Okay, that's Jeremy good. Beanbaugh, that was good. Yep. Okay, next week, I'll see you next week to kind of shore it all up and go into 2021 with kind of mission and purpose and putting all these things together. Yeah?
Can't wait.
Okay, thanks, bye.
Thanks for hanging out with us today. We hope it inspired you and gave you ideas of how to live out love exactly where you are. We would be so honored if you subscribed to our podcast or you left a review, shared it with a friend, because we want as many people as we can to hear this message of what it means to love others. And don't forget to check out our website to grab our new children's book, The Lunchbox Note, A Story of Loving Others. Or if you want to dig a little deeper of ways to strengthen your family, so you can love your community well, check out our family coaching tab at BeStrongStory.com. You can find us over at BeStrongStory, all one word, on all our socials so we can get to know you more. Above all else, thanks for helping us make this world a more loving place. We believe with our whole hearts that every single person, you listening, is worthy of love, and every person can share that love and make a difference in this world. See you next week, you guys.